What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday nights are where I, Josh Hadley, bring you the stories that make you look up and say, what the fuck? The first of those stories would be, why Charlie McMullen is still on this show?
Why not, I say?
But to balance him out, we have the cat.
Yep, you have me.
So,
that's something, I guess.
You balance out the Charlie.
I'm not sure how.
It usually takes a cat.
Well,
I feel like that was some sort of innuendo, but I don't know how or why.
And neither do I. I hadn't thought it all the way through before I had started talking, so I just went for confusing.
So it's like what you do whenever you discuss a topic on this show. You don't think it through.
Precisely.
Normally we have the dumbest thing here. I'm going to make the entire first segment.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Because we got a couple of really, really good ones that deserve a slight bit of discussion more than we might do a dumbest thing. For instance, did either of you know that in the 1950s, America was planning to nuke the moon to spite the Russians?
Well, I mean, it sounds like something we would do. I mean, we really hated the Russians.
It sounds like something that would only be done if the ransom were not paid.
Well, it turns out that during the height of the space race, Project A-119 was to launch an atomic bomb onto the moon to blow it up to halt the Russians from being able to continue their space program and getting there first. It was basically, we cannot let them get to the moon first. We can't. We'll blow the fucker up before we will let the Ruskies land on the moon.
If I can't have you, no one can.
Do you know what the saddest part of this is? One of the scientists on board with this project was a young man named Carl Sagan.
I feel like I've just heard like some great blasphemy. Like, did that really just happen?
It did. Carl Sagan was fresh out of school and working for the government, and he helped work on Project A-119.
Well, just in general, Carl Sagan has always struck me as the kind of guy that says, this shit might as well happen. So that actually does, to me, sound like something that he would sign on for. I don't know how seriously he was actually taking it, and in fact, I don't even know how serious the whole project was being taken. If something does not get past even blueprints, shit, in Washington, Jesus Christ, that's like the second step, like the second out of 10,000 steps of getting something done. I don't know how seriously I take this whole revelation of Project 1A, you said it was?
A-119.
It really doesn't surprise me because I think the U.S. really did hate Russia that much. I think the repercussions of it would have, like, environmental repercussions probably would have been not so good.
Do you know why this was abandoned? It, quote, might pose a danger to the people of Earth.
It might.
It might. It just might, you know.
Maybe, you know, maybe.
I mean, so, yes, the Japanese tsunami would happen everywhere all at once. But other than that, it would be fine.
But like Kat said, knowing how much we hated the Ruskies back then, are you really that surprised that this was at least a plan at some point? Or does this speak to just how insane the Cold War actually was before Reagan got involved?
It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, because it does not surprise me that someone in a position of power considered this. I mean, it did not get very far, so that does speak to at least the presence of common sense. But yeah, I don't find it that surprising because people are insane. Americans are insane, Russians are insane, every living person to an extent. I mean, there are different degrees. Pretty much everyone is insane, and everyone is capable of insane shit. Something like that, I would expect more out of the, you know, the 20s or the 30s at the latest. It's kind of sad that it was as recent as it was, but it's not really surprising.
Yeah, actually, I would have pictured that out of an earlier time period when we knew less about, you know, how the moon affected tides and shit. But, you know, like, you know, that seems like such an early sci-fi plan, like blow up the moon to stop the invasion. Like, it seems like such a much earlier kind of theory that would, you know, happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're going to blow up the moon before it threatens our freedom.
Well, if the Ruskies would open a moon base there, I guess that would be an issue, but I don't know. To me, it's kind of short-sighted to go, I'd rather blow the fucking moon up than let the Ruskies land on it first.
It's a little like I'm taking my ball and going home.
Your ball as the moon?
Yeah.
That thing we all need to survive on our planet?
That's the stuff.
I feel like this was like part of the plot of Despicable Me.
No, this is not even a Bond movie, just a cartoonish exaggeration of a Bond movie.
This is not Moonraker, this is Moonraper, starring Ben Affleck.
Oh, he would have been great.
Let's move on to that, from that to a different form of stupidity. The Alabama-based Life Savers Ministries. They are an anti-abortion group with a title like Life Savers Ministries. What do you expect?
Circular candy.
Life Savers Ministries has decided they were going to put up a billboard to try and sway people to their side. And they added a quote at the top of the billboard. He alone, who owns the youth, owns the future. Adolf Hitler. I'm not kidding. That is a quote from Adolf Hitler. So why do you guys think they used the Hitler quote? Do you think they didn't realize it was from Adolf Hitler, even though they attributed it to him? Do you think they didn't realize who Hitler was? Or do you think this was a calculated scheme to do exactly what it's doing, get their billboard to go viral on the internet?
This is really tough because these don't seem like people who understand the concept of something going viral, but I can't imagine any other reason why they would. I mean, unless they are those kinds of people who actually like Hitler, and they didn't, like, nothing in their description sounded like neo-Nazis. So I think it was just, you know, trying to get some attention.
Well, as we parents sometimes say, it's not good attention. If there was a video of a guy eating his own dick, Hannibal Lecter style, that would go viral, and he would get a lot of attention. He would also be dickless. So I don't. If it was a ploy for attention, I don't think it was worth it. I mean, to quote Hitler, that's pretty bad.
And I think they, honestly, I think it was more they didn't know who Hitler was, because the founder of the church, James Andergreg, gave this quote. We're pulling the billboard and certainly never intended to cause confusion. Herbert Hoover would have been a far better one to quote when he said, children are our most valuable resource. We are a children's organization and had honorable intentions and nothing else, unquote.
To not know who Hitler is, like, do they watch, like, the Triumph of the Will footage and say, who's that little loud guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache? I mean, how do you not know who Hitler is? I mean, at some point, that billboard was printed. I mean, because I saw the picture that you sent to me and Kat. It was like a lot of Christian organizations' billboards do. They have, like, the childlike font as, I guess, an emotional trigger for some people. But it was weird to see the name Adolf Hitler in that font.
The only way they could not know who Adolf Hitler was is if every single member of this organization that had any say in designing this billboard were all homeschooled in a homeschool that didn't believe in teaching history, because history is not important as long as you're saving babies, and just completely skipped over world wars, period. That would be the only way you could not know who Hitler is, because from the time you enter school, public schooling, you have Hitler is bad, like, shoved down your throat no matter what history time period you are working on. Like, no matter what you're doing in school, you always know that Nazis are bad. Every single course. You could be studying, like, Rome, and they would be like, and by the way, Hitler was a bad person.
You couldn't have just maybe Googled Adolf Hitler to see what he was referring to with that quote? Even if the quote itself, say it were made by somebody else, even if the quote itself was what you wanted, doesn't the context of the quote matter at all?
No, of course not.
It means a lot coming from Hitler, I think. That one thing I would like to point out, though, is they're like a militant anti-abortion activist group, calling themselves a children's group, but they call themselves the Life Savers. The Life Savers candy is very colorful, almost, one would say, a rainbow.
We don't want rainbows. They don't like rainbows.
That's what I'm saying. I think this is a lot of closet cases happening as well.
Well, do you think this billboard kind of came at them from behind?
Maybe they're just being homosexual to prevent abortion. Kudos for committing, guys.
To me, because you got to pay to put these things up, and they're not cheap. No one thought this was weird. No one at the church, or no one at the ministry, no one at the billboard company maybe brought up, are you sure this is the billboard that you want? Nobody whose hands this went through before popping up alongside the highway thought this was weird?
That conversation never happened. From conception to design to printing.
Conception. I see what you did there.
There you go. To the guys putting up the billboard with the gigantic paintbrushes and glue. No, that conversation hey, are we sure we want this to say Adolf Hitler on it? That never happened.
You could have, like, not attributed the quote to Adolf Hitler, and it might have been an effective billboard. Like, I know if I were going to put up an inspiring message and I knew who Adolf Hitler was, I would just not attribute it to Adolf Hitler, because honestly, who's going to complain? They're going to be like, oh,
the Nazis.
Oh, that was said by Mein Führer, and they didn't attribute it to Mein Führer. Oh, we're going to sue them.
We move from that to Florida. Why not? It's always Florida, right?
Do we have to? I mean.
Yes, because this one's funny.
Shit rolls downhill.
Shit rolls into America's Wang. Judge John Murphy was getting into a verbal argument in court. All of this is caught on tape with public defender Andrew Weinstock. We don't see what happens beforehand, but the judge is getting irritated as hell at Weinstock. Weinstock is the defense attorney, and he is refusing to waive his defendant's right to a speedy trial. Then this happens.
You're Mr. Runkles?
Yes, sir.
Two charges, assault and resisting. You have the public defender. Public defender, what do you want to do?
Have they filed?
They have.
I'm not waiving.
All right. What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? I'm not waiving. You want to set up your trial, set up your trial.
All right.
If you want to set for docket signing, set for docket signing. I'm not waiving in any case. This is an emergency created by the state.
You know, if I had a rock, I would throw it at you right now.
You know, this is
stop pissing me off. Just sit down. I'll take care of it. I don't need your help.
No,
sit
down. You know, I'm the public defender. I have a right to be here, and I have a right to stand
and represent
my clients.
I said sit down. If you want to fight, let's go out back, and I'll just beat your ass.
The judge first threatens to throw a rock at his head.
Yeah.
And
well,
then...
in all fairness, he didn't threaten to throw a rock at his head. He just said that if he had a rock, he would fucking throw it right at his head.
Totally not a threat, right?
Well, I mean, he didn't have a rock.
Technically not a threat.
Well, you'd think maybe the judge was dancing a fine line there until he told Weinstock, let's go out in the hall so I can kick the crap out of you.
Yep, I think I loved this coming from a judge too. He said, if you want to take this outside, I'll just beat your ass.
Weinstock is not completely blameless here. He puffs out his chest and just goes, bring it on, and walks out into the hall with them. So he's not blameless in this.
No.
We can't just vilify the judge here.
I mean, this is a public defender and a judge. You know the specifics are going to be looked at.
Well, and it's on tape. The thing I loved the most was, I don't know which one is saying this, but you hear from the hallway, you want some more? You want some of that?
You're going to try to fuck with me? That, it was the judge saying that.
And then the judge comes back into the room to riotous applause from the gallery on the jury box. Sits back down. Defense attorney Weinstock doesn't come back at all. And then this is where I think not just the beating of the ass in a legal sense. The judge just starts asking the defendant, what do you want to do? Do you want to waive your right to a speedy trial? I'm pretty sure there was multiple procedures violated here.
Yeah. A couple of things about this. Like, starting right after the sound of the judge punching the public defender in the face a bunch of times, there's like a good 2 minutes of a courtroom full of people sitting in silence at
first. They're sitting there like they're waiting for the judge to come back from a bathroom break.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is happening? Because you can hear the video camera is mounted in the corner on the ceiling. So from the ceiling of a courtroom outside the door, you can hear this crystal clear sounds of violence happening. And a whole room full of people are just sitting around looking at each other. And what made me really...
The defendant's not even looking like this is weird. He's just kind of like, okay, Weinstock will be back.
The defendant was just like deer in headlights, just waiting for this shit to be done with. But what really made me lose it is after about a minute and a half of silence, someone in the courtroom said, "Go Boston!"
And they're in Florida.
They're in Florida. And not only that, but someone else on the other side of the room said, "Fuck you, I'm a Yankees fan." Oh, that just made my day, man.
Ignoring the level of professionalism displayed here, this is something that only happens in the movies. Like, this should
happen in Florida all the time, I'm gonna bet.
Okay, so it happens in Florida, and it should only happen in, like, a comedy movie. This should be, like, some terrible comedy actor just, you know, wailing on somebody else, and it should be really, really funny. This is really, really funny, but it's real, and it really shouldn't be. This should not happen in real life, but it did.
It really shouldn't, and is it just me, or did the bailiffs not look surprised?
The bailiffs look like this happens all the time.
I think it does.
The bailiffs just kind of looked like, Murphy will be back after he's done beating some Weinstock ass. Yep.
Whatever. Same shit as always.
There are more legal questions here. Not only the fact that the judge is not being charged with assault. Weinstock is being charged with assaulting the judge. So I have an issue right there. The judge who instigated this and arguably won the fight is not being cited at all. He violated any number of legal procedures by then going to the defendant and specifically just asking him what he wanted to do. I think he therefore deprived the defendant of legal counsel.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, you cannot do that. I mean, after you drag someone's lawyer out into the hallway, beat the shit out of him, then come back and say, "Look, put on your lawyer pants because it's you now."
Well, also the fact that, isn't this a textbook example, leaving out the absurdity of it, of a judge that must recuse himself from this case?
I couldn't call him impartial with a straight face anymore.
There's no way this isn't a mistrial. Like, there's no way this continues, because this is so, so beyond any sort of continuation. Like, this can't be allowed to continue, because there's no way that judge can in any way continue to handle this situation.
I love the fact that he just so calmly asked the defendant, "What do you want to do?" He's like, "Okay, we will set a court date here." And the defendant just goes, "Okay." And they just leave like this is normal.
This didn't look like anybody's first time.
Because it's Florida.
Fucking Florida.
I you know what? I used to think the Elmore Leonard book Maximum Bob was fiction.
Oh, no.
I'm
no,
starting to think it might not be.
Maximum Bob could have been a fucking memoir.
It's just so sad that we live in a country where this kind of shit happens. It's really disturbingly unprofessional, but at the same time, I think sometimes it's exactly what you need. You need to see people who you think of as like the biggest tight pants in the world, just people who have no sense of humor, going out and, you know, just sort of being human by beating the shit out of each other. But terribly unprofessional. Should not have ever happened.
To the American government, I suggest separating Florida from the United States, selling it to Cuba. Hear me out. Cuba really needs Florida, because I don't know when last time you've been to Cuba was, but it's in pretty bad shape. I mean, they could just move everything to Florida and start over, and they'd be better than ever. We're not using Florida. I think the money might be able to save Social Security. Circumcise America, 2016.
Down. If you ride up, girl, you got guys, I'm Hart D. Fisher, and you are now in the middle of a heart attack moment on What the Fuck.
Take
and of
course, two, Josh, by the way.
Take two, by the way. And of course, Josh is with me, as always, and we're going to get right into it. If you guys haven't heard the hour-long heart attack, we have an amazing interview with Captain Young, who is a female captain in Los Angeles Police Department's Central Traffic Division. She is, in fact, the commanding officer of the Los Angeles Police Department's Central Traffic Division. And we had a very interesting conversation with her. And we also talked about the car wreck. Some young ladies crashed into my car yesterday morning, and man, they really knocked the shit out of him. Good old Ruth. And videotape is up at youtube.com/American Horrors. If you need to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter, Hart_Fisher, or facebook.com/heartattackradio. And I'm going to slam right into this thing. Josh, did you see this article about how Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal has signed a bill killing all lawsuits against oil and gas companies?
I had not.
Yeah, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal has, and I'm going to quote, has flouted the advice of his own attorney general, scores of legal scholars, and has gone against his own voters by signing a bill which blocks a levee board's lawsuit against oil and gas companies who are accused of destroying the state's coast. And his excuse was, it's going to stop frivolous lawsuits. What a cocksucking asshole.
Frivolous, my ass. It will stop lawsuits. Not frivolous, just lawsuits.
Because, as we know, the BP oil company has been working hard to avoid paying its debts. They've been working hard to dump the cleaning off on the government. The government is overwhelmed. Our coasts are overwhelmed by the oil damage from BP's pipelines. And what the fuck are they thinking, banning lawsuits when they're not even finished establishing the damage? And I want to point out, by the way, that a lot of the damage in the Gulf Coast, there are a tremendous amount of families of naval officers and our gentlemen who are serving our country in the Navy have many families that are drinking oil-tainted water. Their drinking water is tainted with oil. Their families are being injured. This is such an insult to our military families that have to live there in the Gulf Coast and eat shit like this. And now this cocksucking son of a bitch, Bobby Jindal, who has gone against his own attorney general and said, I'm going to sign this thing right into law. Gee, why do you think he did that, Josh?
Okay, Bobby Jindal doesn't exactly have a track record of being honest and open to begin with. So it's clear. I mean, corruption. That's the only word we can use. Corruption.
Because Don Briggs, the president of the Louisiana Oil and Gas Association, called the move, I quote, a huge victory for the oil and gas industry, end quote. And here's the funny thing. How often have we heard about the oil and gas industry being victimized? Have you ever heard of the oil and gas industry being victimized, Josh?
Oh, it's an entire industry of victims, according to them.
Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico in 2010. It killed 11 people, and it spilled 210 million gallons of oil and the worst marine oil spill in history. And this asshole has now signed into law making it illegal for the citizens who've been damaged by this oil spill to sue to protect their property, protect their rights, to protect the medical impact.
Not just that, but also to have BP stand behind their word. Remember, BP said, this is our fault. We will take care of all this. Then when the bill came, they went, wow, that's a lot more than we thought. Okay, we're not going to take care of it.
This is so wrong. 79 law school professors warned that the bill could interfere with state and local government claims against BP. This is so fucked. Bobby Jindal, you got to go. Brother, you got to go, Jindal. It is time for you to go. He is in the pocket. Folks, you want to know what's going down? The corporations are buying your politicians, and they're having laws written that fuck you and me and all the regular people out here. They're fucking us, guys. They're fucking us hard, really bad. Honestly, if you were a Louisiana citizen, I would be up in arms. I would be stomping mad furious. You're talking about children that are getting sick from this BP oil spill. You're talking about grandmas and grandpas that are getting cancer from tainted water, and now they're not going to be able to stand up for themselves, not going to be able to assert their rights in this country. All of a sudden, poor oil and gas is protected. And remember, Oil drones are now here. BP scored the very first commercial drone flight over U.S. land. So BP's buying us up. They're not even an American corporation, guys. They're a British corporation. So they're coming over here and poisoning our land, poisoning our people. And, gee, now they get their own private drone fleet. They're going to have their own drones flying around. Aren't you excited about that? Aren't you really thrilled that the guys who have the worst oil spill ever, who've now bought out the governor of Louisiana? I mean, this dude is so bought and paid for. It's disgusting.
British petroleum. So they're not even an American company that has bought an American lawmaker. That is a dangerous precedent to set right there, isn't it?
Gee, I wonder why it's a good idea to have limits on how much a corporation can donate to a politician. Gee, I wonder why it would be important to make sure an individual can't just buy up a politician. Well, this is why. So to all those families that have their loved ones serving our country in the Navy, and they're living in a shithole covered in oil thanks to a British company, and their government is saying, oh yeah, forget about those VA hospital problems. We're going to fuck you here too. This is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in politics. There are so many people that are going to be hurt from Bobby Jindal's actions. A Republican governor, I might add. A Republican governor they were talking about several years back that he'd be a great guy to run us as president. Yeah, maybe if you're an oil company. I just cannot understand how anyone could think that it's a good idea to give oil and gas companies a free ride. After the chemical spills in West Virginia, after our tainted water, and we have a water supply issue in America. Beef prices have gone up because there's droughts across the country, and there's not enough water for the cattle. There's not enough water for our grass to be grown in our homes. LA is in the middle of a major drought and a major water shortage. And what has this guy done? What has BP done? They've destroyed tons and tons of fresh water. They've destroyed tons and tons of marshlands. And now it's illegal to sue them? What the fuck? You thought I was bad. And they didn't even have to bribe the government like Johnson & Johnson did. They didn't even have to pay off a fine. These fucking guys just bought out the governor. It's disgusting. It's right up there with the new homeless spikes that are outside a London flat. An apartment complex in London has now installed spikes in their alcoves and around little nooks where someone could sit down or lie down. And they're calling them, they're saying they're there to deter the homeless. Fucking disgusting.
And you know what's worse about that? A bunch of American, all Republican, governors and senators said, that is a really good idea to help curb the homeless problem.
And here's the thing, folks. They are creating a problem, a liability problem. When you insert spikes in the cement on the ground, what happens is you're going into your domicile and you slip on the ice, you fall, and you poke your goddamn eye out because of the homeless spike strips. Guess who's responsible? The building owner, the property owner. You're going to get sued. This is asinine, folks. This is why we do this show. I'm Hart D. Fisher. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to What the Fuck. And I know Josh has got something he wants to ask you folks at home. He needs some help right now. Josh does a bunch of shows for Jackalope. He's not paid for the work he does for Heart Attack. And right now he needs some help. Josh, tell him what your problem is.
I'm drowning. My debt creeped up on me to the point where I need $7,000 by the end of this month. So the next 18, 19 days. I have to raise $7,000 or I am homeless as of July 1st. And so what I'm asking is there is a GoFundMe to help this, or if you want to donate, or if you know anyone that is willing to help, you can donate to 1201beyond@gmail.com for PayPal. I don't normally ask for this kind of help. This is difficult for me, Hart, but I'm in the spot where it's like my family is going to be out on the street. I've got a disabled wife. I have my son. We're going to be out on the street if I don't raise this money by month's end. Things are that bad. I need to try and get my head above water, and I need your help to do it. 1201beyond@gmail.com to donate, or you can use the GoFundMe if you want to use that. Just please either email me at that 1201 or help out, or if you know anybody who is willing to help out, any charitable organization that's willing to help out, please give them my name and my contact info. It's gotten to this point.
Help Josh out. He could really use your help. He's put in a lot of years of creating radio entertainment for me and everybody else who tunes into his shows. Even if you hate the guy, he's very, very entertaining. And I know I like to poke him just to see him squeal every once in a while. I'm Hart D. Fisher. Thanks for listening to Heart Attack. We'll talk to you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Same heart time, same heart channel. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about all the Chili's and Chipotle incidences of crazy people carrying guns in there? And I think, how'd you put it, Charlie? If your protest looks exactly the same as armed robbery, you are wrong.
Yeah.
The NRA, of course, weighed in on this. We know they're not known for being sane, right?
Yeah.
Well, the NRA sided with us. They said that the gun activists, quote, crossed the line from enthusiasm to downright foolishness, called them weird and scary. Quoting still, as a result of these hijinks, two popular fast food restaurants have recently requested patrons to keep guns off the premises. To state the obvious, this is counterproductive to the gun-owning community. To draw attention to yourself in public not only defies common sense, it shows a lack of consideration and manners. Unquote. All of a sudden, we're going, wow, the NRA is being sane?
Did they change PR persons or something?
Apparently, because this pissed off the Open Carry Texas people, who started cutting up their NRA memberships and going, the NRA is no longer siding with us. They are against us. So, of course, this didn't last long. Well, on Tuesday, the NRA came out, retracted their statement of this being counterproductive, and said that that statement should have never been issued at all. That was from a low-ranking PR person in the NRA who overstepped their bounds. They do not think this is weird and scary, and they completely back Open Carry Texas.
This is why everybody hates the NRA, except the people in the NRA. Because the NRA is full of crazy people who are given the opportunity to speak. And obviously, the first person who issued a statement probably shouldn't have said what they said, because calling...
But what they said was right!
Well, yeah, but the way that they phrased it was not very good PR standpoint kind of stuff. Calling those people weird is nice and honest, but it's not a good way to talk about your own kind. But that was like a sane, rational person. That person probably has been fired from the NRA because they are far too sane to be a mouthpiece for the NRA.
Well, I don't know if the NRA is being sane, but I think they're being practical. I mean, what they're essentially saying is, hey, we don't need your kind of help. I mean, like, as a liberal, that's the way I feel about, like, militant throw paint hippies. You know what I'm saying? Just the most unbearable people.
Meat is
in
murder!
The world. Exactly. I agree with you. I don't want that kind of help, though.
Please, don't help.
Yeah.
Stop helping.
Yeah, in other words, you're not doing the gun lobby any favors by acting like insane idiots. So knock that shit off.
But then what do you think about the whole fact that not only that the NRA backpedaled, but that they released another statement that said they, quote, unequivocally support open carry, and that the conflict with the activists was a distraction that the media has had a field day with. In a way, they're still kind of saying you gun nuts are not helping us in this, but we are fully backing you. That's kind of a middle of the road. We were really scared when you cut up your memberships kind of thing, isn't it?
Well,
what
I think...
What a bunch of fucking cowards.
With guns.
Yeah. It's very cowardly. I think at some point said, okay, wait a minute, we can't condemn the stupid because that's all we got.
Well, but then this also comes down to, and Bill Maher said it this last week, so these open carry idiots have done exactly what the NRA has been trying to stop. All of these restaurants are now banning people from carrying their weapons inside. Counterproductive is not even the right word for this. You gave your enemies, no pun intended, all of the ammunition that they needed, didn't they?
They really did. Oh, God, it's so, it's such a stupid situation to begin with. Like, if people just had their rights and exercised them responsibly, the NRA would not really have any problems with people at all. But it's always the extremists who feel like their rights are, you know, supersede everyone else's rights. And if they have a right to do it, they're going to do it in the most extreme fashion possible. And everyone else is just sort of like, whoa, hey, you make us look bad. And it's those kinds of people who just, you know, yeah, they gave plenty of ammunition to their opposition. And they're going to bitch and moan about how their rights are being taken away when people just want to feel safe.
But no, but here's the thing. Their rights are not being taken away or even threatened. One of these idiots for Open Carry Texas said, I'm exercising my Second Amendment right. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's not how your Second Amendment, that's not how any of your amendment rights actually work. These aren't like, this. It doesn't go away if you don't exercise it.
These are not your like, your points or your, you know, like your...
These aren't your rollover minutes.
They're not, yeah, exactly. They're not your rollover minutes. You're not going to lose them.
In his defense, though, it did rhyme.
So that's what Charlie takes away from it.
No, what I take away from it is that it's just fucking stupid and wasteful that any of this is news to begin with. I mean, none of this matters. Nobody's rights are being changed. The Constitution is not being changed. No one is coming to take your guns. If you have a gun, you can have your gun. It's fine. What I'm wondering is whatever happened to just respecting your own beliefs and shutting the fuck up about them. Live your life the way you want to and just leave everyone else out of it. This is all just people desperate for attention. And I don't respect that. I just don't.
I think part of what it comes down to is these people wanted attention, like you pointed out, and they got it. And then they realized, yeah, this again, no pun intended, this kind of backfired on us, didn't it? just kind of blew up in our faces. And now they're having to save face by doubling down on their stupidity. They drug the NRA into it. I think they have proven the bully tactics. By their whole, we are cutting up our NRA memberships, and then the NRA almost immediately backtracking and saying, no, no, not what we meant. We cannot allow this to happen. Go back to what I said a week or so ago about how few people are in the NRA compared to the population of the United States and how much influence that they peddle. They are terrified of losing that influence. And I think that's the real story here.
I've always thought of the NRA as actually a terrible representation of gun owners, because the NRA is always issuing statements about the rights of gun owners and basically saying that gun owners should be allowed to do whatever they want with guns because
because guns.
Dead hands.
Exactly. And I think this is just all the more proof that there are some responsible members of the NRA, and some of them are even at the higher levels, but they're not the ones who get to make the statements. Like, the people in charge are probably insane because they issue all these crazy, crazy statements. But obviously there's like one sane person in there who's going, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't make ourselves look like domestic terrorists.
Speaking on that level, There was a mass shooting this weekend of a crazy man walking around. He had a gun out and two slung over his back, and he was murdering a bunch of people on a college campus. They always say best way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. How are we supposed to distinguish that person from a dumbass walking around with two AR-15s slung over his back just walking down to Chipotle?
Exactly.
If you ask an NRA spokesman, a gun enthusiast, or I would say any 8 out of 10 cops, the good guys are usually the ones that are easier to see in a shadow, have sort of a year-round tan.
I think what he's trying to say is the bad guys are black and Latino.
There you go.
And good guys are super white.
Yeah,
except for that shooter we just had that I spoke of, white.
Totally a white guy. And I'm sure at one point he was a good guy with a gun.
Well, let's see. Elliot Roger, white. Virginia Tech shooter was Asian, so he's lighter. You know what? I can't think of one non-mass shooter in the last 20 years, or one mass shooter in the last 20 years that was not white or light.
Sandy Hook was a white guy.
Columbine was white guys.
Columbine was white guys. The Aurora
was white
movie theater. The Aurora movie theater
was white,
white
guys. Pearl was white guys. Hell, the only one I can think of would be the Fort Hood shooter. He was, I think, half black, half white.
But it was also his father who was entirely black, so I guess that's how the statistics work. I mean, he was black enough to cancel out all the white guys, I guess, is how it works.
Oh, he was a African-American. Got it.
What?
You never heard that one?
No.
Rush Limbaugh used to call Barack Obama a African-American.
Oh, my God.
And I used to call Rush Limbaugh a human.
That's a good one.
But what this comes down to is, like Charlie pointed out the other week, look at how many people own guns in this country. Look at how many people are involved in the NRA. Maybe 10% of the gun owners. So that said, why do you think even gun owners back away from the NRA? Even your average gun owner is like, people are fucking nuts. I just want to own a gun to defend my family. I don't need to carry it into fucking Chili's.
And even if you did want to bring a gun into Chili's because you're afraid of, you know, that random shooter who might be trying to rob Chili's or Chipotle while you're there, and you're going to be the hero and save the day, you don't need like 3 different ginormous guns hanging off you. That the giant guns hanging off you is because you have a really tiny dick. And you feel the need, you feel that need to make yourself look more, you know, masculine. You need to feel really manly, and you're going to do that with a gun. Those are not practical weapons. You are not going to necessarily deter, well, you probably are going to deter shooters with it, but you're also going to deter other human beings from being near you because they're afraid you're going to go psycho and kill everyone.
Would you say that the people who are going into Chipotle and Chili's and Culver's and all that with their AR-15s, would you say that they are the flashers of the gun community because they are exhibitionists who want to show you their dingly dangly?
We could go with that.
I'm sure that's part of it, but I think the overcompensation is more of it. Because the day that Open Carry Texas protested at Chipotle, I wonder how many Hummers were in that parking lot.
But then the other issue is, why do you think gun owners, your average responsible gun owner that maybe owns a pistol to protect his family, that just has hunting rifles in their home, why do you think they are not speaking out against these idiots? They're just remaining silent and waiting to see where everything lands. Do you think that they're being cowards too? Don't you think that your average responsible gun owner should come out and say, this is wrong?
I think your average responsible gun owner is not committed enough to the gun scene, if there was a gun scene to be had, to actually care what the NRA thinks.
I think in this society, whoever can screech the loudest will win.
Unfortunately, I believe that's true. And I think this comes down to people get so crazy when you talk about guns, whether it's on either side, whether it's on our side or on the pro-gun side. People get so crazy because of how institutionalized guns are. By the way, I'd like to point out, a few weeks ago, we talked about how open carry into bars was good, remember, in certain southern states? Yeah, there have been 3 shootings in bars so far.
No.
We didn't call that one,
what?
Did we?
Gosh. So depressed I didn't take all those bets.
I don't know what's real anymore.
But I think guns are so intrinsically linked to our culture that that's why people have an almost whiplash kind of reaction when you talk one side or the other about guns. I don't know many people that are in the middle like, eh, you can have your guns if you want. I don't. I don't know many people that are like that. It's either people like us that are saying, you're idiots, or people saying, no, you're idiots. Why do you think there isn't more of a middle ground?
Because who take the middle ground don't get any attention. They don't get to go on the O'Reilly factor. They don't get to get their picture in the paper outside of a Chipotle. When people want attention, they're not going to be subtle about it.
No, I think there's probably a very large middle ground there. They're just not vocal about it because it's not important to them. Like, right. I know people who own guns, but gun ownership does not define them. You know, like, I have a gun.
It's just something that they have.
Yeah, it's like, I can't even come up with a good metaphor or anything, but it's just, they don't live their entire life around having a gun. It's not the most important thing in their world, so why do they care about what other people think? As long as they're obeying the law, it's not, you know, it's not their problem.
Why do you think then we have this about guns but not other weapons? You don't see a National Sword Association. You don't see people that want to carry their katana into Chipotle because that's not a right. You know, it's not guaranteed by the Constitution. And by the way, doesn't the Constitution say a right to bear arms? It doesn't say guns, does it? What about crossbows? Do you have a right to bear crossbows?
I mean, you could kill somebody with a baseball bat, and you can walk around anywhere with a baseball bat. Nothing's regulated there.
Am I carrying this to a ridiculous extreme, Charlie, or am I shining a weird light on it?
I think there's no longer any such thing as ridiculous extreme.
Okay, fair enough.
There are better ways to get attention, you know, accomplish something, do something good. Don't just squawk about your beliefs, because your beliefs should be a personal thing that you shouldn't shove on other people. So fuck off, I guess, is what I'm saying. It's not news. Stop trying to make it news.
Little wag of the finger to the NRA for backpedaling on their statement. They need to obviously do something to sort out their PR department if they're going to issue conflicting statements within like 24 hours of each other. You know, they need to get their shit together. And by that, I mean, they need to change because they say the craziest shit to appease gun fanatics, not gun owners, gun fanatics.
I think that's an important distinction, by the way.
It really is, because not everybody who owns a gun is committed to a gun fanatic lifestyle. There are plenty of normal people who don't go around with like semi-automatics slung around their backs when they go to Chipotle.
I don't call them gun fanatics. I call them gun fetishists.
Fetishists.
That sounds right.
Fetishists. There's too many like syllables that you can just slip up on there. Fetishists. I can't even say it.
It makes them easier to hear the lisp and root out the queers.
Well, sure. We'll go with that. Gotta shoot somebody today.
I think I've made my point abundantly clear. So to wrap up, Charlie, where can we find you being a steer, not a queer?
Twitter, Facebook, geekjuicemedia.com, outside on the porch, wherever you like.
Kat, take your shot.
Boom, you can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can also find me on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over at ThatGuyWithTheGlasses.com.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I'm also at GeekJuiceMedia.com. Try not to be an idiot tonight, guys.
For us, as a favor.
For the children.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.